In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the readings tomorrow is from Colossians. And Paul gives us a connection between what Christ has done for us, what He will do for us, and morality. This is a connection that is missing from the world today in most people, including even people that call themselves Orthodox. They do things because they think they're supposed to. But they don't know why. If you don't know why you're fasting, you're not going to be very good at fasting and you're not going to have benefit from it. If you don't know why you should abstain from immorality of all kinds, then it's going to be difficult to abstain from it. And even if you do, you won't receive the benefit fully that you should. St. Paul makes it really clear for those with eyes to see and ears to hear. This teaching is present in all of our theology, but it has to be understood bit by bit. It's not like it's a PowerPoint slide with points 1 through 100. You have to understand it over time and see why be good. It's a question that most people do not know the answer to. The answer they give is not quite correct. So St. Paul writing says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with Him in glory." Now it's talking about the end, when He will come over the Mount of Olives, and the dead will rise, and then the living that remain will come up and be joining them in the sky, in the clouds, and the judgment will begin, and there will be no more time, and we will be with the Lord always. And we will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, mortify your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. He ties our knowledge of what we will be and who we will be with the reason to abstain from all of the things that He gives sort of as a grocery list. They are earthly things and we are heavenly creatures. It makes no sense for us to do things that are earthly. We were made for heaven. That's why we follow the commandments. Because in following the commandments, we become like the one who gave them. And we know Him intimately, personally, so that we can cry out, "Abba, Father," with conviction, without any shame, with certainty, with understanding. This understanding only comes about by becoming good. This is why we must be good. And it is also interesting to see how St. Paul breaks sins into sort of two major camps. He starts with base things like fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection in our politically incorrect age, when people think they are saying things that are correct. That refers to inordinate, immoral, abnormal, sexual sins. And then also concupiscence, which of course is all kinds of sexual lust, and covetousness, which of course is what makes us want what is not ours. And he likens it to idolatry. Now, he says, "For such things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." These are serious things. If you don't know why you should not do them, you will not have the strength to completely abstain from them. Or perhaps you won't be an adulterer or a fornicator, but you might be an idolater by wanting things you don't need and that you don't have. Or you could perhaps be unclean. Or perhaps you could just have evil concupiscence in your mind, if not in your body. And he's speaking to the Colossians who were in the who were formerly pagans. And so that kind of stuff was just what they lived in. That was normal for them. And, oh, by the way, this is an excellent argument for that the church always was against inordinate affection. Because the milieu in which St. Paul was preaching was filled with homosexuality. It was very normal, more normal in that society than it even is here and now. And the church spoke against it because it leads to death. Not because it leads to death any more, really, than any other terrible sins, but it does lead to death. And the church always spoke against it. So, after speaking about these sort of carnal sins, then he speaks about other things that we must do. We must ascend in order to not do these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another. All these things are higher. If you cannot keep yourself clean in your thoughts and in your deeds, then you really have almost no chance whatsoever, really I'd say zero, to put off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy. And then he says, why should we lie not to one another? Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. This is why we do good. God has made us capable of perfection. This should be uppermost in our mind. This is the reason why you should struggle against sin and become victorious over it. St. Paul also goes on now to say, to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. How can we be like the one who created us if we don't act like him? If we don't love without respect to persons? If we don't turn our other cheek when our enemy slaps one? If when slandered we do not bless? He did all these things. This is what we must do, not because they are laws that are chiseled in rock with penalties associated with them, but because we were born for perfection. One more thing, at the very end of this reading, he says, after putting on the new man, he says, and then he says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bound or free, for Christ is all and in all. We should be like God, no respecter of persons. There should be no racism in church. There should be no ethnic superiority in church. We should love everyone equally. The poor man, the rich man, the drug addict, the atheist, anybody. Because we are all, whether we live according to this image or not, made in the image of God. So brothers and sisters, let us continue to read the scriptures in order for God to teach us again and again why we should be good. The world does not know why. That is why Christianity has been reduced to, I'm not sure what, a caricature of what it really is. A Christianity with no morality is no Christianity. A Christianity without struggle for righteousness is no Christianity. And that is what we have. Certainly we have it to an extreme in certain preaching about Christ outside of the church. But even in the church, we see a concentration on rites and on traditions. and on ethnicity that does not understand that the purpose of being an Orthodox Christian is perfection. If you are not striving for perfection, then you may not even be able to call yourself a Christian. So let us always remember why we do good. Because we will be appearing with the one who is good in glory. That's a good reason. And one and the only reason that will really help you to become perfected. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.